welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Coming up today on What's for Dinner, Sunday Dinner, Cooking with Pumpkin, the drink of the week, and that would be it for today. That's all coming up on What's for Dinner. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Hammer & Wecan Grocery Store, offering an expanded organic produce selection, deli, bakery, and meat department, with delivery and van service available. Hammer & Wecan Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. I'm Mindy Anderson, your host for What's for Dinner. I'm not a chef. I just love to cook, and I'll admit, sometimes I cook real flops. And here's what I cooked up recently. Let's see, last night I just had garbanzo beans on my mind because I had some I needed to use up, and I just wanted something healthy, some garbanzo beans and kale. And I've given you lots of recipes for garbanzo beans and kale, but and then, you know, just some chicken to go with it. Evelyn loves chicken, and she likes to take it in her lunch if we have leftover. We all like chicken at my house, and especially chicken thighs, because they're so easy. They're so easy, and they're the perfect size, perfect piece of meat. If you're just having one, it's the perfect amount for one person. And yeah, sometimes you can get them without the bone, but you can bone them yourself. It's not that difficult. But I like the bone on. That's fine. They're easy to cook. So I made a kale and chickpea recipe that I've made before, and I've actually given it to you on What's for Dinner before. And I cooked it up for you down at the Sons of Norway this summer. So you just start off with some fresh kale, and I used a nice bunch of kale and a couple cans of garbanzo beans. I had about a half of a purple onion to use up, and one lemon, the juice of one lemon. I also had the chicken. I asked Rodney to stop by the store, and he picked up a couple packages of chicken thighs, and there's four to a package. And that way we each have one, and there's some leftovers for lunch. Evelyn will take one in her lunch, and we had a couple people over for dinner last night, so it worked perfect. Cooking for eight is very easy with this recipe. So I just started off with a little bit of olive oil in the pan, and that would be a cast iron pan, and got that nice and hot, kind of almost medium high, and I made sure the chicken thighs were dry on both sides. Then on the skin side, sprinkled a little salt and pepper, a little smoked paprika, and a little bit of garam masala, and some little red pepper flake on that, and turn them skin side down on the cast iron skillet until they're nice and brown. And then flip them over. Don't try to turn them too quick, because the skin's going to stick. And make sure that they're nice and dry. So just pat them with a paper towel before you put them down and season them. Then once they're nice and browned, flip them over and let them cook a few more minutes to get browned on the other side. And then I just remove them with some tongs onto a plate. and then pour off the chicken drippings from the fat, from the skin. You can take the skin off if you want to cook this, but it really works best with skin on. And it has a lot of flavor. You can take the skin off after you cook them, too, if you want to do it that way. And then I wiped out the pan and put in just a little bit of olive oil and cut up the onion nice and small. That went in. Once the onion was cooked, I opened up the can of garbanzo beans. I had two of them. I have fresh garbanzo beans, too, some dried, but the canned is what I had, and I really wanted to make this a quick dinner last night, in and out quickly. So just use the canned, drain them a little bit, and then sautéed them with the onion. Added salt and pepper. I also added some more garam marsala. I added my house salt blend, which is a mixture of like sea salt, garlic, red pepper flakes, black pepper, and also a little bit of lemon juice with that. So mix it around, let those cook up, and then some it'll release some of the liquid from the onions. And there's going to be some liquid unless you drained and strained the garbanzo beans. There'll be some liquid, and that'll start to thicken up nicely. And then chop up your kale. I use the stems. I don't use the very end of the stems. Depends on how woody they are. If they're not too woody, go ahead and cut those up too, because it's nice to have a little bit of a crunch. But I just cut the stems and all, except for the very woody parts at the end. And I just cut those into strips. And you can chop it up even more than that, but you don't really need to. They'll wilt. And throw that in and check your seasoning, maybe a little more salt and pepper and probably a little more lemon juice. I like mine to be spicy, so maybe a little more garam masala. And then also I used about 2 cloves of garlic that I chopped finely and threw that in there. Mix it all up and let that cook down a little bit. And then once you've cooked that down a little, add your chicken back to it. Just kind of nestle the chicken in amongst the garbanzo beans and the kale. And then I added a little bit of water to that along the side of the pan. Put the lid on my cast iron skillet, and then stuck it in the oven on 350 for about 40 minutes. You could leave it on the stove too, that's fine, but you know, hands off. You don't really have to watch it too much. You can do other things. I made a yogurt, just a plain yogurt with a little bit of lemon juice and some spice in it, and set that aside. I also toasted some bread, sliced up some bread, and threw that in the oven where there was room. And while, you know, everyone's taking their baths, getting ready to nestle down for the evening, dinner's in the oven, and it'll be ready when we get done. So, perfect. Took it out of the oven. And just to serve it, you can just take some of the garbanzo bean and kale mixture. It really works nice in a wide, shallow bowl. But a little bit of the mixture with a piece of chicken on the side and a little bit of the yogurt on top of the kale and garbanzo beans, and it's a great meal. It's healthy. It's delicious. So really, really good. In fact, before we were even done eating, Evelyn picked up her little to-go container for school and was already filling it up, so she had her lunch ready to go for the next day. So that was good, and I suggest giving that a try. If you have any questions about making it, just give me a call here at KFSK 772-3808 and I can help you through it. Also, let's see, for lunch I made a steak sandwich with some leftover steak. Super, super good. It's so easy to make a really good steak sandwich with hardly anything. A couple nights ago we had steak on the grill and hadn't had that in a while. So, generally, you know, if there's three of us eating, I'll grill three steaks, but we can hardly get through two of them where we have one and a half left over, because when I'm serving steak, I like to just, slice it and serve it on a platter, and it just seems like you eat less that way. And if you're serving it with vegetables and a salad. It just seems like you eat a lot less steak rather than having the whole big thing on your plate. And then it's really hard to keep the leftover when someone's been digging around on it if they're not going to eat the whole steak. But that's the way we do it at our house. So I had some steaks to slice up. So I sliced up a little steak, and I had some homemade bread, a couple slices of that, and I just spread one piece of bread with a little bit of horseradish sauce. And then on the other one, this is fun, I had some wild herb dressing from this summer's farmer's market. It has kept really well in the refrigerator because it has oil in it, and so the oil just preserves the herbs, and it's so good. And I bought it from Maya, or Evelyn did, I should say, and Evelyn calls it her dressing, but I spread some of that on the other piece of bread, stir-fried the steak just a little bit in a pan to warm it up because I didn't really want to cook it. I just wanted to heat it up, and it was the perfect steak sandwich, just perfect. Just a little bit of steak on the two slices of thin bread with the horseradish on one side and the wild herb dressing, which had a lot of green herbs in it, in case you want to make your own. It's a lot of green herbs with oil, olive oil, and lemon and garlic. And you can keep that in the refrigerator for a long time. So while it's still solidified, you can spread it nicely on a piece of bread, and then it kind of melts into the bread and onto the steak, and perfect. Yum. It's almost like a chimichurri, but a little more oil, a little more dressing-like. I also made this weekend some apple pies. Those were good. Also made some galettes. And I've been cooking with pumpkin, so I'm going to give you some of those recipes as well from Cooking with Pumpkin, and that's what we're going to talk about next on What's for Dinner. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Today we're going to talk about cooking with pumpkins. And it is the season. Cooking with seasonal foods is always the best idea, and in season now is pumpkin. And some of you might just think of pumpkin as just what we carve this time of the year for Halloween. But I really enjoy those small pumpkins that you can bake with, because they're so good. And I didn't used to buy them, but I really do love them. And this time of the year, I like to cook with squash, pumpkin seeds, everything that seems seasonal. Honey, you know, all of that warmth, the spice that goes with it. And, you know, it's pumpkin. It's a pretty magical vegetable. And well, one, because it's been transformed into a princess carriage, right? But it is versatile. You can make puree out of it. You can make soup, baked goods, chop it, bake it, toss it in salads, put it in pastas. You can even use the innards, so the seeds, and so delicious. And, of course, the guts. You don't need to waste the guts, too, and you can use those. You can puree the pulp and add it to rice or risotto for added flavor. You can turn that pulp into a broth. It can be used with chicken or vegetable broth. So you saute the pulp with a little bit of diced onion and other vegetables and add water and let that simmer for 30 to 60 minutes. And you have a broth that you can add to any other soups just to give it a little extra flavor. So you can infuse it into chicken stock. So very, very good. You can also saute them with oil and puree with canned chickpeas to make a riff off of hummus. So you don't always have to throw the guts away. And if you are somebody who doesn't compost and you throw a lot of your scraps away in the garbage, maybe you can find a friend that has chickens, because people with chickens are always looking for good food to feed their chickens, so they're not always just eating chicken feed. So ask around, and it's just easy to dump it all into a pot and put it out on the back porch or whatever and have your friend come by and pick it up. Okay, so pumpkin. To make pumpkin puree, no need to buy it canned in the grocery store. I mean, if you really want the easy, you know, quick and easy way, yes, you can just buy it in the grocery store in the can, but it's so easy to make pumpkin puree and freeze it yourself. For instance, this weekend I needed pumpkin puree for a granola that I was making, pumpkin granola, and I just took the pumpkin, cut off the stem. You just need to be careful. Pumpkins are hard to cut into. Take off the stem, cut through the top of the pumpkin, and then turn the pumpkin over then, and then cut through the whole thing in half, and then you scoop out all of the guts. And sometimes they're hard to scoop out. I'll take like a little paring knife and cut around the guts into the flesh just a little bit to just get it going. So cut in there, and that helps remove the guts easily. And then you can take a spoon and just go for it and take them out a lot easier. And then, because when you're making your own homemade pumpkin, you have the opportunity to keep it as pure as possible. I mentioned parchment being my best friend in cooking. And once again, you can just lay that parchment down onto a cookie sheet and turn your pumpkin halves over and bake in the oven on 350 until they're done. It doesn't take long. And it's amazing how the pumpkin will somewhat dry along the skin a little bit, and the skin just peels right off that pumpkin. So I like turning it flesh side down, because it kind of keeps in the moisture and kind of steams it that way. And then you just peel it right off the skin. It comes off so easy. And put it into a bowl. And I just used my hands, washed my hands really well. And once it cooled, it didn't take long. And you can just use your hands to puree it down even more. Or you can throw it into a food processor or a blender. It doesn't take much. So if you wanted a sweetened puree, then you can add some honey or raw sugar or white sugar, whatever you use, agave nectar, and then add some spices and you have your sweet puree. But most recipes will call for just puree, and then there is some sort of sweetener in your recipe. That's the easiest way to puree pumpkin. And you can just put that, once it's cool, into a Ziploc bag and put it in the freezer, and it's going to be ready for your pumpkin pies in November. We have all these great pumpkins right now. They're, you know, I know Hammer and Wecon has really good pie pumpkins. So now's the time to get them while they're cheap. So give that a try. And, of course, you can also cut them up into wedges and flip them over so that the flesh is up, and sprinkle them with brown sugar and add butter. You can do all that too. A little olive oil. That's up to you. But I suggest just keeping it nice and pure and plain, and then you add that stuff with the rest of your ingredients when you're cooking. Okay, so of course you can also take pumpkin and chop it up into pieces, and you could roast it that way as well, bite-sized pieces. And not roast it all the way through so it's mushy, and you can use it in different soups and stews. That's good too. And roast it with other vegetables. Here are some recipes that use pumpkin that I want to share with you. And I actually have so many, we'll never get through them all. I mean, really, we aren't. We'd be here till 6 o'clock tonight, and we can't do that. So I'm just going to give you a few. But I did make this pumpkin and chicken red curry the other night. That was super good, and it was easy, very, very easy. I just had some curry on my mind. I had pumpkin in the pantry, and, yeah, this was simple. And it uses chicken. I had some chicken thighs, so I just cut them up. So anyway, here's your recipe. It's and you can change this around. A tablespoon of peanut oil. If you have coconut oil, that would be delicious. Or any sort of oil. A tablespoon of red curry paste. You can buy that in the grocery store, so you can make your own too. But buying it's pretty easy. A couple of chopped shallots. One can of coconut milk. 1 cup of water. Some chicken thighs cut into pieces. So, like 4 chicken thighs. Chicken fillets, which, you know, you want to take them off the bone. So do your best on that. And you can also buy them already filleted, I believe, in the stores. They're a little bit more money, but really, it doesn't take long to take chicken meat off the bone. And then you can throw the bones in a quick little pot with some water and a few veggies, and you have some chicken stock to use later. You also need pumpkin puree. That's another recipe. What you want is some cubed pumpkin. So, cubed up pumpkin. Then you need some lime juice, a couple tablespoons. Also a tablespoon of sweetener, like brown sugar. A couple teaspoons of fish sauce. Some bean sprouts to garnish. Also some Thai basil leaves if you can find them. If not, just regular basil will work fine, or Italian basil. But Thai basil really does work the best with curry. And then some steamed rice. Brown is delicious with curry, but maybe you like white, and that's fine too. Heat your oil in a wok or a frying pan over high heat. Add your shallots, and then add the curry paste, and cook, stirring for about a minute until it's nice and aromatic. Then add your coconut milk and water and just bring it to a boil. Reduce your heat to low. Add your chicken pieces, your pumpkin, and cook, stirring occasionally for about 20 minutes or until the pumpkin is tender. Then also add some lime juice, the sugar, the fish sauce, and cook for another 3 to 4 minutes. Then divide the curry among serving bowls, top with the bean sprouts and the Thai basil leaves, and serve with rice, and then maybe a little bit of squeeze of lime on top of that. It's really easy. It is. The hardest thing here would be just taking the meat off the bones. And you know, really, you don't even need to do that. Just get out your big cleaver and chop those chicken thighs up in half and throw them in just like that, right with the bone in. It's fine. And that's a quick pumpkin and red chicken curry. Pumpkin, it's amazing how you can just slip it into all sorts of foods. I wanted to give you this recipe here because this one calls for pumpkin seeds. So not just pumpkin, but pumpkin seeds. And, I just love them. I love the flavor of pumpkin seeds. I love everything about them. They can be used. I've been making pumpkin brittle. I'm going to give you a recipe for that. But this is a no-bake vegan granola bar. Easy. 2.5 cups of rolled or quick oats. And I like the rolled because they just have there's more meat to them. But use what you have. 1 cup of raw pumpkin seeds. 1/2 cup of raisins. 2/3 cup of peanut or almond butter. 1/2 to 2/3 cup of agave nectar or brown rice syrup. And that's because you want everything to stick together. And you can buy those in the grocery store. And I know that both grocery stores have agave nectar. I'm not sure about the brown rice syrup. And then 1/8 of a teaspoon of sea salt. Depends on what kind of nut butter you're using. But then I always like to sprinkle on just a little bit at the top because I love that salt flavor. So mix your oats, pumpkin seeds, raisins in a large bowl and whisk together your nut butter, your sweetener, and your sea salt. Pour the oat mixture. Pour into the oat mixture and mix it well until everything is sticky. And then if it's too dry, add a little bit more of the agave nectar or the brown rice syrup. Press the mixture into a shallow baking dish. And I would line that with some parchment first. You could line it with foil or saran wrap, but whatever you want to use. Cover with a little bit more if you're using foil or saran or parchment, and press it into the baking dish and refrigerate for 4 hours. Cut it into bar shapes, wrap, and keep refrigerated until ready to use, and they'll last 2 weeks in the fridge. So it's a really great snack. You might need to be careful if you're sending your kids to school with them in case they've got a peanut allergy person in their grade, and maybe they need to be careful about that. But for the most part, this is great. This is perfect for camping trips and after-school snacks and delicious. So that's it takes hardly any time. It's basically, it's no cook, no bake. You just throw it all in, press it down. Easy, easy, easy. So this next recipe comes from a person by the name of Pete. And this is from Food 52. And I just had to give you this recipe because I was searching for some more pumpkin recipes for the pumpkin that I have at home. And, you know, you guys know me. This is my kind of recipe. Short rib and pumpkin chili. So it seems a little bit complicated. There's a lot of ingredients in this, but I just really have to share it. And I can give you the recipe after the show if you just email Mindy at kfsk.org. But let's just go through this recipe and just imagine what it might taste like here. Of course, bone-in short ribs. I mean, how often do we buy them? Not very often, because they're very expensive and they're so good. And mixed with pumpkin to make a chili, I don't think it can get any better than that. This is kind of, it has some coffee in it. It has black beans in it. It has a little bit of everything, and I can imagine the flavor. So this is on my list to make as soon as I can. 2 tablespoons of chili powder. These are all things we normally put in our chili and you probably have in your pantry. Some of them are not, but 2 tablespoons of chili powder and 1 tablespoon of ground coriander, 2 teaspoons of ground cumin, and 1 teaspoon of dried oregano, preferably Mexican. And you're probably wondering, where in the heck do you get Mexican oregano? You can get it in big bags up at Hammer and Wecon in the Latino section with all their spices. In fact, I always go there first when I'm buying spices, period, because they're cheaper. Okay. You also need 1 teaspoon of dried thyme, 1 teaspoon of hot Spanish paprika or some type of hot smoked paprika. 3 tablespoons of vegetable oil, 5 pounds of short ribs, bone-in, or 3 pounds boneless. That's a lot, but this is going to be a special dish. This is not something that, you know, is a weeknight meal. Probably something on the weekend, maybe you have another couple over. Yum. A large sweet onion diced, 2 cloves of garlic minced, 1/4 cup, this is the funky part, but I'm sure it works. 1/4 cup of Korean chili paste, or you could use chipotle chilies in 1 tablespoon of sauce. 2 chipotle chilies. So it kind of, do you want that Korean chili paste, which is spicy? It's different than like Thai chili paste. And I don't know if you can get Korean chili paste here, so you might want to go with the chipotle chili option. 2 tablespoons of tomato paste, 1 tablespoon of soy sauce, 1/2 teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce, 2 12-ounce bottles of oatmeal stout beer, and 1/2 cup of espresso or strong coffee. And listen to this, 1 ounce of unsweetened chocolate or 1 tablespoon of sweetened powdered chocolate. So far we just have this dark, rich, very spicy, aromatic sauce happening, because you got the tomato paste and the soy sauce and the beer and the chilies and all of that wonderful flavor happening. I don't know if you can see what I'm seeing here, but it already sounds great. And then 1 tablespoon of cornmeal or masa harina mixed into 1/2 cup of hot water, 1 can of crushed tomatoes, 1 can of black beans, 3 cups more or less cubed peeled pumpkin into 1/2-inch cubes. And if you don't have pumpkin, you can substitute butternut squash. But the whole idea today are those wonderful pumpkins at the grocery stores. And then 1 tablespoon of brown sugar, some black pepper, and some sort of hot sauce of your choice, like, Mexican crema, jalapeno with sour cream, some shredded cheese, chopped cilantro for garnish, all of that for garnish on top of your chili. So you want to finely chop the chipotles if you're using those. Mix them together with 1 tablespoon of the adobo sauce. Combine the chili powder, the coriander, the cumin, the oregano, the thyme, and the smoked paprika in a bowl, so all your spices are together. Season the ribs with salt and pepper. Heat the oil in a Dutch oven or in a nice oven-proof braising pan over medium-high heat, and you work in batches. You're going to brown the ribs on all sides. Transfer them to a platter. Then preheat your oven to 400. Add your onions to the oil. You're going to stir to coat those and cook them for about 4 minutes until they're lightly browned. Then add your garlic and cook for about 30 seconds more. Stir in your chilies, the tomato paste, and the soy sauce. And then the Worcestershire, and add the chili powder spice mixture. So right now, what's happening there is you have the tomatoes and the garlic and a little bit of oil and your onion and all this spice. And with that together in the bottom of your pan, it's just all going to caramelize together, because it's going to be like a thick paste by this point. Then you're going to cook that for about a minute. Then you're going to stir in 1.5 bottles of the beer. And then you're going to drink the other half. Then you add the coffee, the chocolate, the masa harina, which is going to be like a thickener, and the tomatoes. But it's going to give you that nice corn flavor in the chili. And then add your seared ribs and cook it, stirring a few times until it reaches a simmer. Transfer the covered pot to the oven, and this is what I like, in the oven with a covered pot, and cook for 3.5 hours. Until the meat is tender and falling apart. Then you take it out of the oven, you stir in your pumpkin, your black beans, your brown sugar, and continue cooking it until the pumpkin is tender another 30 minutes. Remove it from the oven, remove the ribs from the pan, take the meat off the ribs, and then, of course, save the bones for the dog. And then using a couple forks, you're going to shred the meat and then just return it to the chili. And there you go. Spoon it into bowls, garnish with hot sauce, shredded cheese, sour cream, maybe some jalapenos, definitely some cilantro. But you're going to have those nice bites of rib meat, and then this perfect bite of pumpkin and all of those spices with the chocolate. Oh, I can just Taste it now. That's on my list. Okay. How about this salad here? This is a squash and chickpea salad with tahini. And anyway, it's 2 pounds of pumpkin or winter squash peeled, seeded, cut into 1-inch cubes. 1 clove of garlic crushed and 1/2 teaspoon of ground allspice. 2 tablespoons of olive oil, some salt and pepper, and some chickpeas drained, 14 ounces. So that would be about one can. And then 1/2 small red onion, finely chopped. And 2 tablespoons of roughly chopped cilantro, 1 clove of garlic, and you want to crush it, make a little paste out of it. And the best way to do that is just to add salt. Sprinkle it with salt and mash it with the side of your chef's knife, or you can put it in a pestle and mortar with a little bit of salt and push it together that way, and it'll make a really nice paste. 3 1/2 tablespoons of lemon juice, 3 tablespoons of tahini paste, you can find that in the stores, 2 tablespoons of water, and 2 tablespoons of oil, olive oil. Heat your oven to 325, toss the squash with the garlic, the allspice, the olive oil, and some salt and pepper, and then line your tray with parchment, put it in the oven for 20 to 25 minutes until it's soft. You don't want it to like be falling apart, but you want it to be able to bite into it and not be hard. And while the squash is cooking, you make the sauce by mixing your crushed garlic with lemon juice and add the tahini in and thin it with a little water and olive oil, and then you have a nice dressing there. You should have like a nice nutty flavor and a lemony flavor at the same time. Yum. Assemble the salad. Place the squash, chickpeas, red onion, and cilantro in a mixing bowl. Pour on the sauce and toss it carefully. Season with salt and pepper. There's another good pumpkin recipe. And then I guess I should give you I think I've given you a squash risotto, a pumpkin risotto recipe before, but oh, those are so good. How about pasta with pumpkin and pancetta? Really quick. So this is kind of like your macaroni and cheese with pumpkin and pancetta, which pancetta is, you know, like a bacon. Delicious, homey, comfort food that the kids will like because it's got bacon and cheese in it. And I think we'll all like it. You need 1 3-4 pound pumpkin, salt and pepper, olive oil, 1/4 pound of diced pancetta, and you can get that, I know, at Hammer and Wecon, 1 pound of rigatti shells, pasta shells, 2 cups of heavy cream, 1/4 pound of shredded fresh mozzarella, 1/2 cup of grated Romano cheese, 1/2 cup of Fontina, coarsely grated. We can get all those here. 1/4 cup of crumbled gorgonzola, which is like a blue cheese, and then 2 tablespoons of ricotta. This is a cheese lover dream. It's a macaroni cheese is what it is with pumpkin. And 2 teaspoons of chopped thyme. Heat your oven to 400. Have the pumpkin. Scoop out the seeds. Cut the pumpkin into wedges and arrange on 2 baking sheets lined with foil or parchment. Sprinkle the wedges with salt and pepper and drizzle with olive oil. Bake them for about an hour until the pumpkin is caramelized and tender. Remove it from the oven, let cool, and then in the meantime, you can crisp the pancetta in a saucepan over medium heat. It takes about 10 minutes. Drain it on paper towels and discard the fat. Then turn the oven up to 500. You're going to bring some salted water to a boil and cook the pasta for 5 minutes. The reason you're not cooking it longer is because it's going to finish cooking in the oven. Drain it and run it under cool water for about 10 seconds so it stops cooking. Because from now, it's going to go into the oven and it's going to soak up the cheese. Set it aside in the colander. Scoop enough of the cooked pumpkin from the rind to make 2 cups. Combine this with the cream in a blender and puree it until smooth. Yum. But don't puree it too long, because you don't want to turn it into whipped cream. And scoop out some more of the pumpkin and chop roughly to make about 1.5 cups. Okay, then combine the pumpkin and the cream puree with the cheeses. Mix it all together, the salt and the thyme and the pancetta, in a large bowl. Stir it gently. Then add the pasta and the chopped pumpkin and fold together until combined. So you're going to have the chunks of pancetta, the chunks of pumpkin, and then the pureed pumpkin mixed with the cream and all that cheese. Spread it in a casserole or a baking dish. Bake uncovered 7 to 10 minutes until it's browned on top. And the bottom layer of pasta is just tender. I don't know who would not like that. That sounds so delicious. You could probably use a brown rice pasta if you want. I've never baked a brown rice pasta. I'm not sure how they bake up, but give it a try if you're a brown rice pasta guru. You could probably do that. I'm going to just give you the one more. I'm going to give you, I love this, where is it? This brittle. I'm going to give you this brittle recipe because this is so easy to make. And I was going to make some the other day and for an open house I was having and didn't get around to it, but I plan on it. It's super good. And I like it to be spicy. Spicy and a little bit salty. It's delicious. So the sweet, salty perfection with the spiciness. It's so easy to make. You can make it with, if you don't have pumpkin seeds, you can just go ahead and make it with peanuts. And this does not have syrup, corn syrup, which means a lot to a lot of people. A lot of people out there are not eating corn or using corn syrup at all. So, on the lookout for good recipes without corn syrup. Okay, unsalted butter, and you want it softened. 2 cups of sugar, 1 pinch of salt, 1.5 cups of pumpkin seeds or peanuts, and some vegetable oil. That's it. Butter your baking sheet and set it aside. Stir together your sugar, your 1/2 cup of water, and the salt in a medium saucepan. Cook over high heat without stirring until the sugar melts and turns golden, about 3 minutes. Continue to cook, stirring occasionally until the sugar has melted and it's golden amber, about 10 minutes. And that's pretty much it. Remove it from the heat, stir in the pumpkin seeds, and pour the mixture onto the buttered baking sheet. Spread it as fast as you can to about 1/2 inch thick. Let it cool completely, about 15 minutes, and then it's ready to just break. There's lots of other recipes out there that use corn syrup or, other additives and things like that. But you can make this pretty easily just with sugar. That's all you need. And then it's good. So very easy peanut brittle or pumpkin brittle. But you can look those up on the internet. There's a ton of them. But I suggest trying it with pumpkin seeds. You're going to love it. And if you have the opportunity to toast the pumpkin seeds in a dry pan first or in the oven, I would do that too. And I like to add a dash of cayenne pepper to that mixture so it's got a little bit of a bite to it, and sprinkle that with a little bit of chunky sea salt there at the end, so you have the sweet and the spicy and the salty. That's it for pumpkin. Coming up next, the drink of the week. I'll be back. Thank you. Support for What's for Dinner on KFSK comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink. Announcing the first Food and Flight Friday at Keto's, featuring wine flights, small bites, and more. No reservations. First come, first served from 5 to 9 on Friday, October 23rd. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. It's time for the drink of the week, and of course it's got pumpkin in it. This is a Mexican pumpkin punch, and what I liked about it is, of course, the pumpkin and rum. Also, pineapple chunks. Yes, that goes really well together. So here it is. This one takes a little bit of preparation. So you want to plan for this like you would a meal. Maybe you can work a meal around it if you're having a couple over for dinner or something like that. You need 2 cups of packed dark brown sugar, 4 cinnamon sticks, preferably Mexican, and you know where to get them, in the Latino section of the grocery store. 1 29-ounce can of pure pumpkin, or your own pure pumpkin. We talked about that, which is about 3.5 cups. 2 limes, a splash of rum. That's optional, really. So you can make this without alcohol. Pineapple chunks and maybe pecans for serving. That's optional. I like the idea of the pineapple chunks. Combine 12 cups of water, the brown sugar, and the cinnamon sticks in a large pot and bring it to a boil over medium heat. Stir until the sugar dissolves. Stir in the pumpkin and return to simmer. Meanwhile, remove the zest from the limes in wide strips using a vegetable peeler. Add the zest to the pot and simmer another 15 minutes. Let cool and then refrigerate it until the liquid is cold and the pumpkin pulp settles to the bottom. 2 to 3 hours. Then, in batches, you ladle the liquid into a fine mesh strainer. Set it over a pitcher. You want to put it all in there. Make sure you strain out all the pulp. So if you need to do it again, then you just go through the whole process again. Discard the pulp and the lime zest. Return the cinnamon sticks to the punch and refrigerate until ready to serve. Pour the punch into ice-filled glasses, add a little rum, pineapple. Serve with the cinnamon sticks. I think that sounds delicious. You know, I used to be turned off with pumpkin. I really, really did. And I think it's because of the canned sweet pumpkin. You know, anyway, now that I discovered that I can have delicious pumpkin puree, pure, without all that additive, and then I can do what I want with it, I love it. So give it a try. And that's it for What's for Dinner. Thanks for joining me today. We'll be back next week with more recipes, tips, ideas on What's for Dinner. Have a great afternoon.